you watch Calgary live. How much more can you glean? Because I'm sure you got the tape and watched it afterwards, but do you see things live that you never see on tape?
You sometimes can get a little bit better overall view, but it was a fast game. So the tape, I find, you can pick more up, I think, because you can break it down, you can slow it down, and that's what we've done. So, great to be there and all that, but I think, as I said, we'll get a lot more out of watching the tape. I think it was a real up-and-down game, and those ones can be difficult to scout and watch, so we'll pick things up from the film for sure.
Are you expecting Calgary to run six guys out the front and 10 defenders and really try to push you in transition like they did the last game of the season?
Yeah, that's pretty much been their standard set most of the year. I mean, the odd time they'll use a Dinsdale, but more in a two-way role. So I would suspect them to do that. There's good and bad with that. One of the risks with that is if you're only using six offensive guys, I think you may have saw a little bit of it last weekend, and that, Colorado scored 9 transition goals, 7 even strength and 2 shorthanded transition goals. So, those guys, your offensive guys are on the floor almost every shift, and that can be take a toll on you. So, but I suspect they had success, pushing the tempo against us. So I can't see them doing anything different at this stage. And, they didn't score a bunch of transition goals on us that game, but they certainly made us work. And we chased numbers numerous times. So I would think they'll do it. But they're a very good 5-on-5 team on offense too. So I'm sure they want to get their offense on the floor as well.
Well, and their special teams. They were the best in the league on power play this year and the best in the league on penalty kill, Derek. I guess talk about your game plan. When you're 16-2, you've been the best team all year long, you beat them 3 out of 4 times, and sure, they're going to try something, but do you try to dictate the way you play, or do you counter what they do?
Well, we try to play our game, and some of that is to counter what they do, I believe. I mean, that's our style. So if you give them too much time and space on offense, they will burn you, because they have such a strong athletic presence as well as perimeter presence. So if you decide to sit back, which Colorado did to some degree, if you decide to sit back and give them a little bit of time to shoot mid-range shots, they'll burn you. I mean, they scored 16 against Colorado, 10 were 5-on-5 goals. The other thing, too, is Colorado got burnt in sort of unsettled 5-on-5 plays where Calgary are so good, loose ball in the corner. And if you turn your head and let your guy go, for instance, like they did on Dixon on a goal, it's in your net. So the key for us will be discipline in all areas of our game. That means sticking to what our game plan is, until we decide otherwise. And, play at our tempo, which is a fast-paced game as well, in all areas of the floor. So, that'll be the key, and be disciplined. Stay out of the crap, stay away from the face washing and all that stuff that they want to draw you into, and just play our game, and make it a 5-on-5 game as much as possible. We don't want to be taking a bunch of penalties against them, that's for sure. Although our penalty kill actually has been pretty good against them this year compared to most teams, but we want to play a 5-on-5 game and get up and down the floor and transition and get our defense on the floor and our offense on the floor.
Head coach and GM of the Edmonton Rush, Derek Keenan, joins us. Rush, of course, taking on Calgary. Derek, for a lot of the new lacrosse fans, it's the first year now. This will be the first time the playoff format comes along as far as a best of two, and if necessary, then the overtime. And I know you kind of joke, well, I don't know if I like it, talk to me at the end of the series, but does you guys as an organization are 2-0 in Calgary. I think your team this year didn't lose in Calgary. The only loss you had was on the road. You practiced last week. Was part of the practice in Calgary last week just to have guys used to coming into Calgary?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, also to get the guys, most importantly, to get the guys together and have a really hard, fast-paced tempo practice, given that we're going to play the winner of two teams that were doing just that, playing hard lacrosse. So that was the main focus. But, I mean, we've been there lots of times. Our routine often doesn't change. We're going to practice Friday night at 7 o'clock. You know, do our shoot around in the morning, and, you know, away we go. So a little bit of familiarity, though. Like I said, we play there so often. We've had success there, you know, both regular season and playoff in recent years. So we like playing there. I mean, the atmosphere is always so good. We get a fair number of fans now from Edmonton, and the Calgary fans themselves, they're great fans. And they're really good lacrosse fans, actually. You know, we've gone in there a couple times recently and put up some numbers on them, and you don't hear a boo out of them. Man, they're behind their team 100%. They like to see good lacrosse. So, for us, I mean, it's business as usual, and we'll do our usual preparation and be good to go Saturday night.
Is Ryan Dilks ready to go?
He should be, yeah. Yeah, he should be good. I got a text from him today. He said he actually played squash today, so he's out moving, and he feels good, so he should be good to go.
Okay. If he can't go, would Sorgetti or Toll play?
I really like Toll's game last week. I mean, Sorgetti's a different style player. I mean, mm-hmm. I think we've given how, you know, they're so good offensively, that I think we'd be looking at more of a guy that's a little more familiar with our system, probably. But as far as I know, though, Jason, that Dilks is going to be good to go, and we've taken him off the short-term IR, and he should be good for Saturday.
Okay. Zach Greer?
Don't have a report final on him yet. It hasn't come along as well as we thought, but I think he'll be good to go. I'm pretty sure he'll be stepping up to play on Saturday. So certainly I hope so. I mean, he's a big part of our offense.
Yeah. And
he didn't practice on the weekend. Neither did Dilksy. So, you know, purpose there to give them rest in that. So he's gotten better through the first 5 days after the injury, and then he's kind of plateaued a little bit. So hopefully he picks it up again the next couple days here.
And that's key, because you go with four righties and three lefties. And, you know, if Greer's a guy who maybe gets banged up midway through the game, that gets you down to two. And then, is Jeff Cornwall the one guy, or Corbeil? Who would you use more if you had to out of the back end?
Probably actually Cornwall. He's probably played more offense in his career, like in minor lacrosse and in junior lacrosse, than Corbs has. So Jeff would probably be the guy we'd move up, and then stay on and play defense as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and either way, you're losing some transition. So because Jeff's been so good at that this year, along with Corbeil, you know. So ideally, Zach's good to go, and we have our regular 16 runner lineup and bowl the net, and we're good to go for Saturday. But we'll determine that by Friday, probably.
Derek Keenan, head coach and GM of the Rush, join us to take on Calgary Saturday in Calgary, and then next Friday at home, first ever home game for the Rush in the playoffs. Derek, postseason comes, and for the last few years, Ryan Ward, when you guys got in the postseason, was unbelievable for you, especially against Calgary. You know, you need guys to step up. You've really been a score-by-committee type of offense. You know, Knight and Matthews have kind of led the way a little bit more than other people, but do you kind of get a sense, do you look at, you know, this is a time where you need Mark Matthews to elevate his play in the postseason?
Not specifically him. No, I think, you know, we scored the second most goals in the league, and I don't think a lot of people realize that, but because our defense is so strong, I think, you know, we're a defense-first team, but a lot of things come out of that. But, you know, we had the second most goals in the league, and I think the danger of our team is that, you know, if teams want to focus on Mark Matthews, then, you know, we're more of a team that's going to have four or five guys get two and then get contribution from the back end, and the odd night, you know, Knight or Curtis Knight or Mark will step up and get three or four, or Greer does that as well. But typically, though, we spread it right out and get contributions from the back end, and I think if we continue to do that, you know, we don't need Matthews to get five or Curtis Knight to get five. We just need that constant and consistent contribution from our whole group and from the back end, and hopefully we'll get our, you know, 12.5 goals.